But the title would be this: The Magnitude of Those Little Things. The Magnitude of Those Little Things. Just those little things we do, that they're huge. What they can accomplish, what they can do for people, the difference that they can make. And we've all had little things done to us, for us, by someone else. And we know the significance of that little thing. We have also done what we would call little things for other people. And sometimes we forget the magnitude and the significance of that when we're the one doing the little thing. But the magnitude of the little things, and I'd just like to do something. I wanted to start this time out this morning with a thank you. Because there's something that I know as the pastor, and that is a thank you for all the places of service that people do in this church. There's places all over in this church where people serve. And I want to just say thank you, and I'm going to ask you to do something. The Bible says, let another man praise you and not your own lips. So I'm doing the praising, and you guys will just go ahead and do what I'm asking you to do, okay? I got one, I got some chuckles, but I didn't get any yes! So I'd like everybody who has done things in this church, whether it's providing meals or whether it's on the worship team or whether it's in the sound booth or whether it's in children's ministry or shoveling snow or cleaning, I like everybody who has served in some capacity in this church to stand up, please. I have a point. Please, everybody. Everybody who has done something. Everybody who has brought a youth meal. Everybody who has done children's meal. Everybody who does donuts. And everybody who helps with Sunday morning fellowship. Amen? You know, there's a thing out there that it's pretty standard amongst churches. And what that thing is that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. I'd like you to do me a favor right now. Just look around. Does this look like 20% or more? Looks like more. Now we're not done. Please stay standing. I'd like everybody who prays for people in this church. I would like everybody who helps people outside this church during the days during the week. You've done something for somebody. You've served somebody in this fellowship. You've prayed for somebody in this fellowship. I like everybody throwing this into that group. You've given financially to this church in any way, any capacity, not just inside the four walls of the church, but outside the four walls of the church during the week. How many of you witnessed to somebody who's not been, you know, you just witnessed to somebody or prayed for somebody? Go ahead and stand up now if that's you. Because see, I think there's a bunch of you in here. You've prayed for people in the church. Amen? We look around. What's starting to happen? What's starting to happen? You guys look around. Would you please? Would you please look around? I don't know about you, but for me, this is awesome. We are a blessed body. We're a blessed fellowship. When you've got over 90% of the people standing up saying, yes, in some capacity, I have served. In some capacity, I have given myself to the brothers and the sisters in the fellowship. And you got this. This is awesome. Praise God. Amen. So as I talk about the significance of the little things, they don't look so little from here. They look pretty big. They look pretty significant. And as I continue to talk about the little things and serving, don't think I'm talking because I think people aren't serving. You guys, I know better than that. That is not my motive. My motive is just to encourage you. My motive is just to let you know the significance of what you do. And the Father sees what you do. Amen? So now go ahead and give somebody a hug, wrap your arms around them, and say, thanks for serving. No, this is not greeting time. You're not free to go all over the sanctuary. I just personally, I think that is so amazingly awesome. Thank you. And here's a verse of scripture going to go to. How many of you know this church wouldn't do, couldn't do what it does if it wasn't for all that you do? Amen. Hallelujah. And I'd really encourage you, every once in a while it happens. I don't think it happens a lot in this church. I don't think we have a lot of people in this church that complain about the church. I don't think we have a lot of people that gossip and talk negative and ugly about the church. Amen. But just realize this, if you are complaining a lot about the church, you're complaining about, and you are a part of the church, maybe the thing you're complaining about is where you ought to be stepping up. Just a thought. Amen. But how many of you know, we are blessed. There's this verse of scripture, I really like it. Years ago, Guy Dunnick asked me if he could give a gift to my wife, Diana, and I'm like, yeah, you can give her a gift. Well, he gave her $100 in this verse of scripture. And it applies to her, and it applies for everybody. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Let me just read that again. That is so cool. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Amen? Amen? He's not going to forget. And I really like something that Kelly and Patty Dunnick would do when they went to Samoa and first started the Bible school. You could head to Matthew 25. When they first went to the Bible school and they're there working, and I think, you know, Patty probably still does it today along with James, along with the rest of the staff, Matthew 25. But they would get to the end of the week. They would get to the end of the school week, and they had just got done teaching the students for the week. They'd sit down and they'd have their end of the week meeting, and they would take, and there'd be a book that they would close, and Kelly would say this, it's in the book. Can't take it away. It's done. It's in the book. Think about all those things that have been done that are in the book. Can't take them away. God has seen them. And he's not going to forget. And not only that, but they are still doing and having the impact that God wants them to have. Amen? How many of you know that that doing that you do, it doesn't necessarily stop with once you do it? You know, you've heard play it forward, pay it forward. Serve it forward. Serve it forward. How many people have been served by somebody, and as a result of that service you got for them, you found yourself wanting to serve somebody? Amen? And it just puts stuff in motion, and it just goes forward. It doesn't end with that one act. It doesn't stop there. It's alive. It keeps going. I still remember this down in Rushville. I taught a message. It wasn't a message that was popular. It wasn't a message. And it actually went cross-grained to the teaching that was really running rampant at that point in time. It was back in the 90s, the early 90s. And I taught a message that just brought some adjustment and correction to it. And one individual in the church, she called me up on Monday morning. I was in my office. I like to pray where it's dark so I don't get distracted. I get distracted really easy. And so I'm laying there, the lights are all out, and I'm praying, and the phone rings, and this individual calls me up, and they didn't like the message, and they chewed me out good. Just told me how wrong I was. Wasn't a very long phone call, because I wasn't that wrong. No. Actually, I wasn't wrong at all. They just didn't like the message. And then I hung up the phone and got back down, you know, pray, and just getting started praying again, and the phone rings again. And I answer the phone. And it was from a lady up in Kyle, Elsie Meeks. And I'd go to Kyle every Sunday night and preach up there. And I preached the same message there that I did Sunday morning. And Elsie's, Pastor Joel, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for yesterday's message. That was so good. Just stick with it. Thank you. Thank you for feeding us. Thank you for coming up here. And I hung up the phone and I went, wow. And here I am, about close to 30 years later, guess what? Still remembering that. Still remembering that phone call. It's still doing what it started doing all those years ago. Amen? Hallelujah. So just some things. The magnitude of the little things. Matthew chapter 25. Going to start reading. Just going to read verse 21. And the Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." How many of you know being faithful in those few things, faithful in those little things, actually is a lot? I have a friend up in Sturgis, John Williamson, the pastor up at church up there, Believers Fellowship, and he was talking with the Lord one time, and he said, "God, I don't think you could trust me with $1 million. I don't know if I could handle $1 million. I don't know if I could be faithful with that money. I don't know. God, I don't think you could." And I love it when God interrupts us when we're talking to him. And then he wants to bring a little adjustment. And for Pastor John, the Lord spoke to his heart and said, "John, you can. John, have you been faithful with what I've given you? Have you been faithful with the finances I've given you? Have you been faithful in your giving? Have you been faithful in your tithing? Have you been obedient, John?" And John goes, "Yeah, I have." And he goes, "Well, John, you've been faithful in the little things. You'll be faithful in much." How cool is that? See, sometimes we're not faithful. We're not, you know, going to be able to do these bigger things. But man, if you've been faithful in that which has been given you to do, who's to say you can't be faithful in more? I think the Father would tell us that we can be faithful in more. Amen. Is if we've been faithful with what we have. Jump down, please. These are just some of my favorite verses of Scripture. Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 31. Matthew 25:31. "And when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory." This just blows me away. How many of you know this day what we're going to read about is in your future? And personally, I'm really looking forward to this day. I'm going to have some fun on this day. Because one, I already know where I'm going to be. I'm over on his right-hand side. I already know that. I'm over there. I'm looking forward to this day. Anybody in here like the Avenger movies or the Marvel comic book movies? Anybody in here like those? Yes, Rayleigh. Yes, yes. Yes, Michelle. I enjoy them immensely. And I like Thor a lot. I like the ones that have Thor in them. You know, and how many of you know, or the Hulk? You know, you got the Hulk. And the battle is going on. And it's raging pretty good. And everybody just knows, just wait. Just wait till Thor shows up. You know? Everybody's just kind of ready for it. And all of a sudden, this beam of light comes flying down from the heavens. And whoo, Thor shows up and he's got his hammer going. And whoo, it's short work. You know, it's just kind of over. Or the Hulk, he comes out. You know, I just enjoy that. I just think about this. How many of you know on this day that we're reading about here, that we're getting into, how many of us know everybody, every nation? Someone say every nation. Every tribe, every group, every nation, they will know who he is. They will know who Jesus is. Nobody will have to explain who he is. They will all get it. Amen? And guess what? If he is your Lord and Savior, you are on the right side. Yeah! That's the side I want to be on, amen? I want to be on the side that's cheering. I want to be on the side going, yeah, that's my hero. That's my king. That's my Lord. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I get excited about it because he's my hero. He's my deliverer. He's the one that saved me. Woo! On that day, I think this will be mild. This will be calm. Boy, on that day. Woo! Just saying. I get a little excited when I think about stuff like this. When I know it's in my future. And it's in your future. Hallelujah. It's hard to read when you're crying. And all the nations will gather before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those who are in his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Inherit what? Inherit what? A kingdom prepared for you. You think he knows what you like? You think he's thought about you in the preparing of this kingdom that is prepared for you? How many of you, if you were preparing a meal for a good friend and you know they couldn't stand salmon, would cook salmon? You wouldn't do that, would you? How many of you would try to figure out what their favorite meal is? And that is what you would prepare. What do you think? A kingdom prepared for you. I just go preach, be happy. Y'all can do what you want to do. I just go have a good time. Wow. From the foundation of the world. Wow. Think he's been working on it a while? Anybody ever work on something for a while? Anybody ever, you know, like to work on something and take care of those details? Make sure everything covered? I wonder if he's got everything covered. Yeah. Verse 35. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, one time when I was over in Samoa, I was teaching, and this verse of scripture, it just hit me, it lit me up for about 20 minutes, and I couldn't get off of this. And the king. Who? The king. The one who stood before every nation. And everybody knew who he was. Him. The guy up there that everybody's looking at, that everybody's in awe of, will say to you, the king. I don't know about you, but this gets me excited. The king will say to you, when? When did I feed you? When did I? When? When? And the king. Everybody say the king. The king. I'll do it this way. The king will say to me. Yeah. The king will say to me. How many of you know he's going to say to you? He's going to talk to you. Remember everybody standing up? What did you put yourself in position for? For the king to say to you. And you might go, well, yeah, but it wasn't that much. Does it matter? We might come with all our excuses and reasons why not. But wait a second. I'm thinking about Rahab, a harlot. And she's in Hebrews chapter 11. And what did she do? She hid two spies. I don't know. That's all that's recorded that she did. I don't know if there was more in her life, but that there was enough to get her in Hebrews. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't let the enemy talk you out of the value of you or the things that you do. Just working with Ron, getting a little bit closer to him, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm so good at saying stuff that could people might not like. You know, I'll just keep doing it. Amen? Why change now? But I was just sending Ron a text for the announcements, and I just said, you know, Ron, I get why Jesus died on the cross. When I get to know you, I see what Jesus saw, and I get why he died on that cross. I see you and you and you and you and you, and I get it. I get why he paid such a great price. Because you were worth it. He sees the magnitude of you. He sees the awesomeness of you. He sees the heart of you. He sees the love that flows out of you. He sees the kindness and the compassion that is in you. I get it. I get it. I look around and I see people and I get why he did what he did. Man. I tell you what, the people around us, the people in this room, we're blessed. Why don't you just nudge somebody and go, we're blessed. You know, we're blessed because of you. Because of you. Amen. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, we all know it, you did it to me. You did it to me. Who'd you do it for? Who'd you do it to? The king. And I just like to ask this question, what would you do for the king? What if we got in the habit of looking at everybody and kind of realizing that everybody represents the king? Think we would treat everybody just a little bit different? Do you think the value that we would put on them would come up a little bit higher? Now, am I saying that we're not doing this? Is that the motive of this? How many of you know that's not my motive? Amen? That's why we had everybody stand up. Because we do place value on people and serving them. But how many of us know we can keep going? Amen? And don't let, I like to say this, don't let the enemy devalue those little things. I said this a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, and it just stuck with me. If we do not place value on things, or if we do not place value on those services that we do for people, you know what will happen? We'll stop doing them. If we don't place value on ourselves, does Jesus place value on you? Absolutely. Absolutely. You're worth a lot. I got this down at Rhema and Keith Moore. And how much would you pay for you? How much would you pay for you? Would you pay $1,000 for you? $100,000? How much would you pay for you? How much did God pay for you? What makes something valuable? One of the things that makes stuff valuable is its uniqueness or the rarity of it. There has been only one man that walked the face of this earth without sin. Only one. That's rare. Only one. That's Jesus. He is different than every other man, human being, that walked the face of the earth. He has something that no other has. Wow. That blood in his veins was sin free. He was sin free, spotless, perfect. And that's what was paid for you and me. When you're willing to pay a lot for something, that lets you know that that something is worth a lot. Well, I know how much God would pay for you. Amen. Wow. Glory to God. This is only going to be one message this morning, by the way. We are never going to get to the other part. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's go to Acts chapter 6, and I won't go any further than this today. Ron, did I really say I would shorten my sermon on the 10th? Oh, see, because I might have said it too. I didn't say it? You made it up. See, and I was about to believe him. The things. Who said that? That's Pat, yeah. Roland's going, it wasn't me. It's this guy back here. I don't know. People get me. I mean, I got people telling me they're just super comfortable sitting up here on a chair, you know, and I believe them. You know, I just believe people. I'm like, I want to believe the best of every person. And Ron says in front of the whole church, yeah, Pastor, you said you were going to end the service early. He lied. What's that?
You
did say that a few years ago. Oh. How many of you got over to Acts chapter 6? Are there any people in here that you can watch the same movie over and over?
Amen.
How many of you, once you watched a movie, you can never watch it again? Got a few of those. But I'm one of those, if it's a good movie, I can watch it over and over and over. I've seen the movie Amazing Grace. It's about the slave trade. Cannot remember the guy's name, but I've seen it, I bet you, 15, 20 times, and I can watch it again. I got lines memorized. I know that they changed the sound to deepen the guy's voice and put a little echo in it to make it better. I mean, I know it, but I can watch it again and again. I can read verses of Scripture over and over and over again because there's just good stuff in here. So Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. I want to start reading at verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because the widows were being neglected of the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of a good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, the proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them, and the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. There's so much in this. But I just love something. These people, and these people who are being picked out, these 7, what are they being picked out to do? What do they want them to do? Serve where? Tables. Serve people food. How valuable was this position? If you were there on that day, how many of you would want to be picked? See, I bring this point up for this reason. I think that those people at this day saw that as something honorable. I get to be one of the 7. I get to be one of the 7 chosen and appointed over this business, providing food, providing soup, giving to people. Oh, pick me. You remember Shrek? Donkey? Pick me! Pick me! Pick me! I'm thinking of Larry. Ron knows it. Pick me! Pick me! I think we should keep valuing the realm of service like that. Pick me. Pick me. Put me in that position. Pick me, please. That's an honorable position. How about if we all just purpose to place those positions of serving and the people in those positions of serving as honorable? How many of you think we do good? I got 3-4 hands that went up. I'll put them both up. I'll put a foot up. I think we do good, you guys. I really do. I think we do good. But here's something I also believe. We can do better. And one of those areas that can start is like this. Just placing honor and value on the people in our midst who serve. You ever done something and the thought, why bother, runs through you because it seems that nobody notices? It seems that nobody cares? It seems that nobody is paying attention? What if we did this? What if we just really purpose and to take it to another level and go, I notice. I notice those little things. I notice those little things. I know those notice those acts of kindness. I notice those things that you do. See, and for you, they might not be a big deal. For you, they'll become just part of who you are. But the difference that it was make, I just want to share this story. Brian brings this up, and I only bring it up because he brought it up. He's brought it up a few times. And God supernaturally did a work in me. Wow, it'd be fun to share that story. But I'll share part of it. I'm down at James Robertson Days of Restoration. John Wimber, James Robertson, number of different people. It's an absolutely awesome time. And where I'm sitting, I can't hear very good because we're kind of behind the speakers, and there's about 15,000 people in this auditorium down in Texas. And I can't hear well, so I get up. And I leave my chair, and I go down on the main floor, and you got the main floor, and then you got a wall that's like straight up about 10 foot, and then you got the bleachers above it. And I stand against that wall the whole time. And as I'm standing against that wall, my hands are just tingly. They're hot. And I'm actually, what the heck? For about an hour, as James Robertson is speaking, I'm like, dang. What the? You know, it just I notice it. And James Robertson gets done. And John Wimber gets up. And he says this. It was like the last night. And he says, all right, anybody in this auditorium, you need healing in your body. You need healing in your body. I want you to get up here right now. Hundreds of people make their way up to the altar. They're just there. It's just full. And then John Wimber goes, now, there's a bunch of you out there, and your hands have been tingly. It's like they've been hot. And you've been wondering why. God wants to use you to pray for these people up here. So you get up here. Oh! That's what this is! How many of you know that anointing can be tangible? So I go up there. And the first guy I pray for is deaf. Gets healed just like that. The second guy I pray for has got a bad back. Gets healed just like that. I'm like, wow, this is cool. And how have you know I got a great imagination? I like Star Trek. I like the Marvel comic books. You know, I can see that stuff. I can envision it. And this is what I'm seeing inside of me. A beam of light coming down from heaven, hitting me, going down to the bottom of my feet, bouncing back up, and going out both ends. And like beams of light. And then, that's what I'm seeing, man. This is just my imagination, you know, okay? This is just good imagination. God gave it to me. And then God starts leading me. And he takes me over here to the left side of the platform. And in there, there's a situation where one guy is in the center of about 6-7 people and being prayed for, ministered to, just words of encouragement, just words of staying in there. And then I get a word for him, you know, wait upon the Lord, share that with him. Then God just, and I'm like this, I'm like this, walking around. God takes me over here. And there's a guy face down on the floor. And it's very violent. And about 7-8 people around him are praying for him, and they're taking authority over demonic spirits. And he's getting delivered. He's getting set free. And I just stand there, just watching, just observing. God was doing a wonderful thing for me. I was getting to experiencing these different spiritual settings to remember and to hang on to for the future. So I get done with that one, and I go from there clear to the back of the main floor, and there's this couple sitting on the back of a chair, and about 10, 15 people around them, and it's just peaceful. I don't do anything. It's just peaceful. It's so different than the spot I was at before, just the peace of God. And they were just being saturated with the peace of God. And then I turn and I head right back towards the platform. And there's a street person in a wheelchair. Not real clean. You know. Smelly. He's in a wheelchair. How many of you know that whole setting is very awkward for me? Anybody else? You get awkward around street people. You get awkward around folks in a wheelchair. You're just not quite sure how to respond, what to do. So I get up there, and all the Spirit of God said to me was, love him. So I just bent down, wrapped my arms around him, and gave him a great big old hug, and loved him. This was for me more than him. Because God was doing a work in me. He was altering a thing in me. And so I took that. Is that a big deal to give a guy in a wheelchair a hug? Different answers. That little thing did a big work in me. We were coming out of, was it like the bike show or something, Brian? And there's a guy severely handicapped sitting in a wheelchair. End up making eye contact. And I just bend down, give him a hug. No big deal. Why? Because what had happened years before. But Brian has shared with me. What happened to him, Brian? What happened to his face? He just lit up. Huge. And it stuck with you, didn't it, Brian? It, you know, I think it was 2-3 years, I don't remember how much, afterwards you shared that with me. Just the... Oh, yeah, yeah, thought I knew him. I didn't know him. Whew. What did it mean to him? Wow. Boy, I tell you what, guys, let's not devalue those things that God gives us. Amen? There's more to that story, but that's just what I wanted to get to, and I took so long getting there, I wondered why I wanted to get there now. How long and how far do those little things keep going? Do they stop? They don't stop. They keep producing. They keep producing. We're serving forward. God sees it. He's not going to miss it. And we get in here. I'd love to be one of those seven. Do we have the possibility of being one of those seven today? Yeah, we have the possibility of being one of those seven. Let's make sure when somebody is one of those seven, we're placing honor on them and we're placing value on them. Amen? And let's know that when we're one of those seven, there's an honor and a value that God is placing on us. And don't let anybody talk you out of it. Don't let the devil steal it from you. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to just pull a few more things out of here and then I'm going to be done. All right, so they start serving. Verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed for them, they laid hands on them. Can you imagine that setting? Can you picture that day with me right now? Just picture that day. They get seven men and the 12 apostles. Well, yeah, Miletus might have been in that one. 11 for sure. But they do what? Think about it. Scott. You want to be one of the seven too? Nope, you just want to sit there. Here's one of the seven, one of the seven. We just get seven people stand up. And then Peter. And then John. And then James. And Matthew. They do what? They get around them. How many would you like to have Peter lay hands on you and pray for you? Have John lay hands on you and pray for it. That's the day. There's a significance in this day. How many of you know this is not a small deal? And yet, what were they going to do? Serve soup. Wait tables. Wow, the value. that we will place on each other. The value that we will place on those things. Amen. Why? Because God does. Because God does. Because God does. Amen. Thank you, my friend. What happens as a result of this? And the word of God spread, and the numbers of the disciples multiplied. You mean to tell me, as a result of serving soup, the word of God spread? How many of you know our serving affects more than just the area that we serve? Glory to God. Let's keep the switch of faith turned on. I want to exhort you to do that. There's a couple of takeaways I'd love for you to have today. One, honor those who serve. I'm gonna raise my personal level of honor that I give to people who serve. I'm gonna raise that. And I'm gonna deliberately purpose and watch for those people in the places that they serve. And I'm gonna highlight it, and I'm gonna point it out, and I'm gonna tell them, Ralph, thank you for the job you do. You should watch this man when he does the sidewalk out here and stuff. He does it with absolute excellence. He gets the push broom out and sweeps the parking area. He does. A lot of people driving by might think, my gosh, they sweep the parking area. Yeah, people around here do. People around here place value on serving. And we place value on them. Let's see those things that people do and make sure we tell them. Make sure we let them know. And we place honor on that. And then let's keep the switch of faith turned on when we serve, knowing that our serving goes beyond just that act. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you want to place honor on Sharon and Linda for bringing rolls? Amen. For the fellowship that they create down there. You know, Pat and Ginger, because of them serving the roles, did you guys find yourself over in the room getting to meet people, getting to know people? And that wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for these two ladies willing to bring roles every Sunday morning. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Place honor. Place honor. Jenny, sitting up in the sound booth right now. Tay-Tay, working the projector. You know what? You got to stand up and do a happy dance. Because we're so blessed. Think of all the people. I could just start naming person after person after person after person. Praise God. That serving and the word of God spread. And the word of God spread and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests. The who? The priest. Now, how many of you know that's significant? That is significant. A great many of the priests did what? They became obedient to the faith. You know, I bet you some of these priests were some of the ones who stood and watched Jesus do the stuff that he did and got offended at him and got ticked off at him. But now here they are. And it's connected with the serving. Wow. Serving here affects something over there. I think, remember Willis Dunnick sharing a story. They were up in the Minnesota area building roads. That was part of what they did, was just build roads. And they're through a swampy, marshy area. And they got to get a bed in that marsh for the road. So they got just dump truck loads of rock. Backing up, dumping it in, and dumping it in, and dumping it in. And they're just dumping rock into this marshy area, the foundation for the road to go across. And all of a sudden, about 150 feet, 200 feet off to the left, bloop, big old air bubble. All the rock that they were putting in here was moving stuff, moving stuff, moving stuff way over here where you wouldn't even think connected. Bloop. How many of you know those places when we serve? We see this right here. But where we can't even see, it's having an impact over there. Hallelujah. All right. Verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs, where? Among the people. I love that. Why? Because out serving soup. out serving people with something that seems so everydayish. And what's born out of that? Great wonders and great signs. Amen? Do not devalue, and don't let anybody or anyone devalue the service that you have done. Keep that switch of faith turned on, because it's working into the future. Amen? It's one of those days. How many of you got something out of this today? Amen. Praise God. Amen. The value, a takeaway, I place value on people serving and to look for it, to look for it in people. God sees it. Amen? Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, we worship you, we love you, we give you all the glory and the honor, we praise you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for being faithful to us. Hallelujah. Father, I ask by the power of the Holy Spirit right now that you witness to people's hearts. And if anybody has been discouraged, or if anyone has been having thoughts thrown into their mind that their service doesn't matter, their service doesn't make a difference, why bother, Father, that all of those thoughts would be taken captive to the obedience of Christ, and the truth of what we shared from the Word replaces those thoughts, Father. And then, Father, I pray and ask that you help us in this place be aware of the people around us. And we do two things. We look for more places to serve. We look for more places to give, Father. And then we purpose to see those people who are serving. And we place honor on them. We speak words of encouragement to them, words of thank you to them. Father, because even though this maybe seems like a little thing, the King, the King, the King will one day say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." The King will one day say, "When you did it to the least of these, you did it to me." Help us get a hold of that even more so, God. Help us value that. See that. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. You may all go ahead and stand up, please. And then if I could get folks that'd be willing to, the prayer team, people that have been up here and Jeff and Rochelle, if you guys want to, you can. I know we don't. You're not always here every Sunday, but if you want to, that'd be great. And Kim and Betsy, if you wanted to, and.